Hey, gang. Gang's all here. It's a great day in Buffalo. We just had a great announcement. The point I was making on the Buffalo Billion is a lot of people think the Buffalo Billion was the reason that Buffalo is doing so well. It is, but not for the reason they think. It's not because of the actual money, because the money is there, but very relatively small percentage of the money has actually been used. What I think it did was it brought back the optimism and the confidence. And that was really Buffalo's issue. You know, the negative begets negative, positive begets positive. And that's when we started to change the energy in Buffalo, where people started to believe that this could be, that you could rebuild Buffalo. And it wasn't just another speech. And that then has grown and grown, and now there's demonstrable evidence of success, which is furthering the positivism. But I don't want you to think there's not a Buffalo Billion. There is a billion. It's in the budget. The money's there.
Governor, in regards to the Moreland Commission, how do you reconcile the voters that you're going to be approaching this fall, that when you announced it and launched it, you're going to be completely independent, and you have members of your staff sought to influence who was subpoenaed and when?
Yeah. The chairman of the Moreland Commission put out a statement this morning, which I think is very helpful, because there's been a lot of inference and a lot of innuendo. But the chairman, as he says, knows better than anyone else what happened with the Moreland Commission. And now we have facts that we can actually deal with, right? And let's remember what the Moreland Commission was. I was trying to get the legislature to pass a reform bill. They wouldn't do it. I said, if they don't do it, I will appoint a Moreland Commission. I appointed the Moreland Commission. Moreland Commission was a phenomenal success. It generated all sorts of interest in the behavior of the legislature. It brought all sorts of cases that have actually come to fruition. And it was, I believe, the stimulus to get the ethics reform bill passed that we got passed. And the ethics reform bill is great. Independent enforcement at the Board of Elections, more transparency, more disclosure than ever before. Now, is it perfect? No. Is there more to do? Yes. Do some people want public finance? Yes. Did we try to get public finance and fail? Yes. But it worked. And the commission members should feel very, very good about what they did. Now, by definition, the commission took advice and opinion from many, many people. They had hearings. They were talking to the Senate. They were talking to the Assembly. They're talking to the executive chamber. No one ever said they shouldn't be talking to people or get advice and consultation from people. They should be independent. And the co-chair today says, I was 100% independent. I made the decisions. Did I talk to people? Of course I talked to people. It would be unintelligent not to talk to people, but I made all the decisions. As a matter of fact, the best evidence of independence is when someone from the second floor says, well, why don't you do this? The chairman says, let me think about it. And then the chairman says, I disagree. I don't want to do that. That's not a sign of interference. That is demonstrable proof of independence.
Why is that not an attempt to influence an independent commission?
It's called conversation and advice. This is a commission that was talking to all sorts of people. It's talking to my staff, Senate staff, members of the public. We're trying to sort through legislation. What's a good idea? What's a bad idea? The conversation, the dialogue is good. Independence doesn't mean you get holed up in an ivory tower and you don't talk to anyone. This is the exact opposite. They were supposed to be talking to many people by the executive order that set it up. They were talking and reporting to the executive chamber. So, of course there were going to be conversations. Of course there was dialogue. It would be unintelligent for there not to be. The question is, but did they act independently? Chairman Fitzpatrick says 100%. And by the way, If anyone tried to jeopardize my independence, I would have quit. By the way, if you know Fitzpatrick, you know that he would have quit. If you know any of these people who were on the commission, they're the top DAs and law enforcement people from this state. And the fact, which is somebody from the second floor gave me an opinion, and I rejected it. That's not proof of interference. It's proof of the exact opposite. It's total independence. And it verifies the exact point. We will talk to everyone, but at the end of the day, we make our own decisions.
But if it's a phenomenal success, why dismantle it?
Well, it was, it was not dismantled. It was by design, we said the commission has one purpose, to get an ethics law passed. I said, I think in this town, I don't want to set up another bureaucracy. I don't want to set up another Furyk Commission, which is a commission that my father set up, actually, that it went on for many, many years. The state is too good at setting up these bureaucracies that never go away and become very expensive and pointless. This was a very short-term goal. Chairman speaks to that in his statement. Let's get the law, and when we get the law passed, the commission's work is finished. Because the whole exercise was about getting the law. You don't need more prosecutors. You have 62 district attorneys in this state. You have 4 U.S. attorneys in this state. The whole point of the exercise was not that you need more prosecutors. The prosecutors were saying, we don't have the law to enforce. I said, I'll get you the law. The Moreland Commission was a vehicle to get the law passed. We got the law passed, and upon passing the law, the expiration and the termination of the Moreland Commission was done because it accomplished the purpose. The purpose was pass the law. Not that I need another commission going on ad infinitum that the taxpayers have to pay for. What I just went on and on with this gentleman for. The chairman of the commission, who is the definitive source. You know, sometimes people are entitled to their own opinion. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan used to say, everybody can have their own opinion, but you can't have your own facts, right? This is a nice, simple, tight question. Was the Moreland Commission interfered with, right? Who would know the answer? The Moreland Commission. Who is the senior co-chair of the Moreland Commission? District Attorney Fitzpatrick. What does he say? Because he's the only one who knows. What does he say? He says there was no interference whatsoever. If anyone tried to interfere with me, I would have quit. If anyone tried to interfere with me, they didn't know who I was. We were wholly independent. Well, how about this? Someone had a conversation with you and made a suggestion, and I didn't follow the suggestion, which is a sign of independence, not dependence or interference. So, I really believe on the facts, when you look at the facts, which is hard to do because we're in the political silly season and there's a lot of political chatter. When you look at the facts, this Moreland Commission performed exactly the function they were supposed to perform. We passed a law that has brought historic reform to the state. More transparency, more disclosure, more enforcement than ever before. The commission went out of existence when it got the law passed because that was the design and the plan. It was an overwhelming success, and the commissioners have not gotten the credit that they deserve. Independent. they were talking to people from the second floor. Of course they were. Of course they were. And they're talking to people from the Senate and the Assembly and the good government groups. It's not, independence is not, will never talk to anyone. It's that they exercise their independent judgment. And that's what he has said over and over and over and over. And he is the only one who knows. You know, the only one who knows if you were interfered with in your broadcast is you. Only you can answer that question. Did anyone interfere in your broadcast? Only you know. There's only one judge, the chair of the Moreland Commission. He says, it was all my judgment. I did it myself. I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people. I had conversations with people on the second floor. I disagreed. I overruled. I did it my way. That's called independence.
So, whether or not the chairman accepted the suggestion, was the suggestion from the second floor an attempt to influence the outcome?
No, there were multiple discussions with the second floor, as there should be. This was a commission that I set up, that we were working with, that was working with us and the legislature to try to negotiate a bill. So what this commission would literally do, this is just why it's so ludicrous on one level. The commission is trying to negotiate an ethics package. So the commission would go to the assembly and say, would you accept this? And then they would go to the Senate and say, would you accept this? Then they would go to the governor's office and say, would you accept this? And the governor's office would say, no, you have to do this. And then they'd go back and they'd go back. So there were multiple conversations for months. It was never, there should be no conversations. It was the exact opposite. The forming documents all say there will be the commission reported to the chamber. Obviously, there was going to be a lot of back and forth. They're trying to negotiate a bill. I would have had to sign the bill. I am not going to sign a bill unless they negotiate a bill that I'm happy with. So, of course, there's going to be back and forth. That's fine. That's as it should be. Interference is different. Interference means the commission wasn't independent. Their independence was trumped by the second floor. That is false. And that is what has been definitively stated over and over and very clearly today. And I'll tell you the truth, this Moreland Commission has not gotten the credit they deserved. I think when people understand the actual achievement of the Moreland Commission, historic reform never before done in the state of New York. Again, not perfect, but more than ever before.
One more office has received a subpoena so far.
I'm sorry? I've told the Moreland Commission, any state agency, that they should be fully cooperative with any prosecutor's office, be it Southern District, be it a local district attorney. And I'm the former attorney general, and I keep a very strict rule. I didn't like anyone commenting on my investigations, and I don't comment on anyone else's. So you'd have to ask them.
You said last summer that the Moreland Commission could investigate anything it wanted. You need to name yourself. Why did you say that? Now you say it could never investigate the executive branch. Why did you say that?
I never said that.
You did in August.
No. Yes, that I said. I never said it couldn't investigate me.
In the letter you released to us.
No, I never said that. I never said that. See, facts matter, even for the New York Times. I said, and Fitz says today, I could have investigated the governor or I could have investigated the attorney general. That's what Chairman Fitzpatrick says in his statement today, right? He says, I didn't because I didn't find any reason to, but I could have. In the letter to the Times, I said an issue that had been raised previously, if the commission did investigate me or did investigate the Attorney General, an issue probably would have arisen as to a conflict of interest. And that had come up months ago. Commissioner Joni Mahoney spoke to that and said, how can a commission that is appointed by the governor be a fair arbiter of investigating the governor? Which is a legitimate question. It's academic, as it's down the road, if the commission found evidence to investigate the governor and if the commission started to investigate the governor, would it be engaged in a conflict of interest because it's staffed by the governor's office, it's appointed by the governor's office, many of these people have relationships with the governor's office. That is a very legitimate point. But that was if, Tom, right? And if, and you had gotten to that point, then you would have figured it out at that point. People could have recused themselves, you could have referred it, et cetera. But Fitz says, I could have investigated the governor, I could have investigated the AG, I would have if I found any wrongdoing, and I didn't.
Governor, if you appointed this commission and had deputized people as assistant attorneys general, and you're saying that your overall mission was to come up with a bill, but they came up with evidence, and they came up with trails that they wanted to continue on, why wouldn't you just let the commission continue and let them go down those trails? And maybe people would have been indicted or something like that.
They did, and they will, and they have. That's exactly what happened, Bob.
Except that you ended the commission, Governor, is what I'm asking.
Well, because I don't believe this state needs another expensive prosecutor's office. I don't. I was an attorney general. I worked with all of them. You have an attorney general, 62 DAs, 4 U.S. attorneys. That's enough prosecutors. You're spending billions of dollars on prosecutors. No one has ever said what we need are more prosecutors. By the way, the people on Moreland Commission are prosecutors, right? If Fitzpatrick has the right law, he'll do it as a district attorney. If Kathleen Rice has the right law, she'll do it as a district attorney. The whole point was we don't need more prosecutors. We need more laws. Now, well, then why was the commission doing investigations? They were raising the issues that needed to be addressed in an ethics reform bill, okay? Outside income. Why? Our bill was saying outside income should be disclosed. Well, is it really a problem? Yeah, it's really a problem. Well, let Moreland demonstrate for the people of the state how it's really a problem and the potential conflicts of interest. Use of campaign money for private purposes. Is that really a problem? Let the Moreland Commission do an investigation and show how it's really a problem. That was the point of it. Now, they wound up making cases that they referred that I believe are going to be real cases. The chairman speaks to it today. But that was their purpose. Once we pass the law, they can, either the 62 DAs can do it, or the members of this commission now have the law, they can go do it in their day job, right?
I don't mean to argue with you, but weren't they on a roll? We just let them continue and let them come up with their evidence and present it to whatever prosecutor they wanted?
They can on a roll. They are still there, and they can still roll if they want to roll, right? Bill Fitzpatrick is the district attorney in Onondaga. He can still make cases. Kathleen Rice can still make cases. Many of the people on the commission were DAs. But from ab initio, I did not want to set up either a long-term study group like FERIC. I did not want to set up yet another investigatory mechanism. We set up J-COPE, you know. That's always the answer. Create a new bureaucracy. That was not the answer here. And again, the people on this commission, Bob, they themselves are already law enforcement officers, most of them. They didn't need a new office. They needed the law. That was the point. And that was always the case, Bob. Now, some commission members say they wanted to stay on and do, they wish they could have stayed on. That's nice, but that's not what this was. Right?
Just to get last question, Fitz. He wrote an email to his fellow co-chairs last year, quote, the second floor of Larry needs to understand this is an independent commission, needs to be treated as such. Is that not worrisome to you, or does that not suggest that there was some undue pressure?
Should be worrisome to you, my friend, because that is wholly inconsistent with what the chairman says was the ultimate reality, right? Well, when you take snippets of conversations in the middle of a dialogue, you really should know where it winds up, right? You take those words. Read it again.
The second floor, Larry, needs to understand this is an independent commission that needs to be treated as such.
Okay. So what he's saying at some point in time is Larry's having a conversation with him, and Larry is advocating a point. That's what that is saying. That is true. Follow the movie to the conclusion. What happens at the end of the movie? Fitz says, I disagree with you, Larry. We're not doing that. Right? Is the name of that movie Interference? Or is the name of that movie Independence?
So you don't think Larry acted inappropriately at any point in terms of the pressure he applied?
He didn't apply it to me. He didn't apply it to you. There's only one person who can answer the question. Who is the person? Chairman Fitzpatrick. And what does Chairman Fitzpatrick say? No. Resoundingly, no. What does the chairman's actions show? No. Resoundingly, no. Because he rejected the request. The rejection is ipso facto a statement of independence because he said no. And he could, and he did. If you had watched the movie to the end, the name of the movie would have been Independence. You named it Interference. Watch the movie to the end.
There's another movie playing, it's called The Election.
I don't watch that movie.
You don't watch that movie? You're a participant, lead actor. Our voters, do you believe, going to accept your explanation as to what interference and influence is in regards to the moral commission? Are they going to see it the same way you see it?
I don't think any reasonable person could see any other possible outcome. You have a commission that is set up, by design, is talking to the executive, the Senate, and the Assembly. By design. You have advice being given to the commission by the Senate, the Assembly, the executive, and everybody else, by the way, good government groups, etc. One piece of advice from the governor's office is given to the chairman. The chairman says, let me think about that because I'm smart and I should consider and think and I'm not rigid. Let me think about it. I disagree. I'm not doing it. Everybody understands that. Oh, that was interference. No, it's not. That's independence. It's not that people can't offer an opinion. Right? I'm offering you my opinion. You go back, I'm not interfering with you. You go back and you write and say whatever you want to say. Why? Because you're independent.
But the motivation to the advice was to protect you from potential embarrassment, which is what also?
That's your characterization of it.
I believe that's what your chairman also
said. No, I don't believe that's true. Well, do we have this statement? I don't believe it said that.
Another topic. We've had three local children who have passed away needing medical marijuana since you signed the bill into law. Do you commit today to working to expedite access for those children suffering from life-threatening seizures?
First, the loss of the children's life is really tragic, right? Anyone who is, any parent certainly can feel the pain, especially in such close proximity to actually passing the law. The law has a balance to it. We want to help people. We want to help the children. We want to do it safely for everyone. We're talking about marijuana. If we set up a system that goes bad or has flaws, we could inadvertently distribute marijuana illegally. And that's not what we want to do either. So we want to do it as quickly as possible, but we need to do it right. We have an 18-month time frame in the legislation that was passed. We will, we're starting down the road. If it can be accelerated safely, of course we will do that. But the balance is that, get people the help they need, but do it safely.
Can you expedite it just for these children with seizures? Other people suffering from cancer, HIV/AIDS might be able to wait.
That is something we're looking at.
Will die.
That is something we're looking at.
Governor, I understand that you have a trip in the works to Israel as tensions in the Middle East are consistently on the rise. Can you address the purpose of that trip and discuss what exactly your plans are?
Trip in the works is a tad premature. I have been corresponding with Israeli officials on the current situation that is going on in the Middle East. New York, first of all, has a special relationship, I believe, with Israel. The Jewish people are a large and magnificent part of our community in this state. And this state and this country play a special role as supporters of Israel. This is an incredibly difficult time for Israel. And standing in support of Israel, I think, is important. I put out a number of statements to that effect. We have been corresponding. I'm going to be in communication with some officials today and tomorrow, and I want to be of help. This is an extraordinarily complicated situation. I understand that. Last night there was an unfortunate event where a UN school, was bombed, and we're not quite sure what happened yet, but innocent people have died. So this is complicated, and there's pain on both sides. I get that. But I also get that this country has a relationship with Israel that is very important, and New Yorkers do, and personally, I do. I've been to Israel before. I've been to Israel during times of terrorist attack before. As a sign of solidarity, I have two brothers-in-law who are Jewish, and I brought them with me last time. So it's important to my family, it's important to my state, etc. But I have not yet set a plan to visit, but it's not out of the question.
Do you anticipate it'll come in the future?
I'm having conversations now, and it's basically a day-by-day situation there. Former Mayor Bloomberg from New York took a trip to make a point. So we're having conversations, and again, it's a day-by-day situation. We're watching it unfold. But as soon as I know, you'll know.
Thank you, guys. Can you go over where we stand on the Buffalo Billion one more time, and also what money exactly has been spent or allocated?
There is no Buffalo Billion. It was an illusion. Bob McCarthy came up with it as an idea to raise morale in Buffalo. And there actually is no money. That is not true. The Buffalo Billion is $1 billion, which was pledged over a period of time. It is in the state budget. So for the skeptics who say, well, the state could take it away, we put it in the state budget, so it's committed and it's affirmed. Of the $1 billion, $80 million has literally been expended. Okay? $200 million is under contract. $500 million is committed. These are gradations of expenditure. Committed meaning there have been conversations and agreements in the works that have allocated a certain amount of funding. So about 500 committed, 200 under contract, 80 million expended.
What areas are you targeting? I guess in what
way? The nice thing about that, well, it's everything you've seen thus far, everything we've been talking about, right? The Medical Corridor has an investment, Riverbend has an investment, plus the startup companies are on top of that. Everything you've heard thus far. But we, the state, the nice thing about this is we don't pick and choose and decide. Really, your regional economic development council, which is made up of your big businesses, your academic universities, you make the decisions, and then we fund their suggestions.
Do you know what else is going to work for the future?
Yes, but I can't tell you that now. Otherwise, I couldn't come back and make another announcement. I think one of the big problems, if you asked me 4 years ago, the major issue Buffalo was dealing with, I would say it was apathy and negativity. You could talk to an audience in Buffalo and just watch the faces, and you would see there was no expression of optimism, no expression of hope, no expression of positivism. And you can understand why. Upstairs, somebody said to me, we've had a bad 50 years when it comes to the economy. You know, you've seen generation after generation leave. Buffalo parents telling their children, you should leave. We're only staying here because we have family, because we have the house, because we're too old. That negativity feeds on itself. It feeds on itself. And it becomes self-fulfilling. Nobody wants to move into an area where everybody's trying to get out. Nobody wants to move into an area where everything is negative and there's no hope. And the Buffalo Billion was an attempt to change that. How do you say to this skeptical, cynical audience that's heard it all, but everything has gone the wrong way for 50 years, how do you shake them up? You have Bob McCarthy. He doesn't believe anything any politician says. How do you say to Bob McCarthy, maybe this is different? What do I have to say to light a little candle of hope in your heart? Little candle. Big heart, but a little candle. Buffalo Billion. You never heard that before. That kind of commitment, that's what the Buffalo Billion was about. And I believe its major contribution was to start the positive or open people's minds to maybe this could be better. And that was more powerful than the money. And the reason I talk about the money that's been expended, because it really hasn't been about the money. We didn't spend $1 billion. We have it, you'll get it, but we haven't spent $1 billion. 80 million out the door, 200 under contract. So it wasn't really the money as the money.
Governor, can I just ask one more question about the Moreland Commission quickly? Are you outright refuting what was printed in the New York Times?
Me refute the New York Times front page? What I'm saying is this. You have opinion, and then you have facts. And you have sources who know the facts, okay? What did you have for breakfast this morning? You were the source to answer that question. Was the Moreland Commission interfered with, or whatever great adjectives were used? The chairman of the commission is the best person to answer that question, because only he would know.
That sounds like reputation to me.
Read the chairman's statement, and I think it speaks for itself. I'll say, on top of the chairman's statement, the Moreland Commission was a success. It accomplished everything it was set out to accomplish. It ended when it was supposed to end. It passed a law that has cleaned up Albany more than any law passed in the history of this state. More transparency, more disclosure, more enforcement than ever before. Is it enough? No. Frankly, will it ever be enough? No. But more than ever before, and we're going to keep trying. You know, that is actually an interesting example of how positive begets positive, we were talking about upstairs. That is literally a company that we started to fund. As we were funding the company, another bigger company came in and formed an agreement with that company, and now we're talking to the bigger company about coming. And you're right, it's an evolution from the agreement we had. It is still ongoing, but it is on a positive track. It's bigger, so it's going to be more everything. More funding, bigger footprint, et cetera, if we can get it done. But it would be huge for Buffalo. I mean, really, of everything we've done, I think would be the single biggest thing. And you're starting to feel the momentum come to us. You know, in the beginning, everything was uphill. In the beginning, I would say to a company, why don't you think about going to Buffalo? And they would say, what? Now I say, I want to talk to you about Buffalo. And they say, you know, I've been hearing a lot about Buffalo. So it's not done yet, but I have a good feel.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys.